Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Kenny.
Hi.
Hi, Jacqueline. Hey, Albert. Hey, Ross. Let's do Course in Miracles together.
Okay.
Let's take an awakening pill together. Some correction intention together. Some healing together. Tonight, we're going to look at this all too obvious, but not too often looked at contrast between brain and mind. You know, it's simple what we're talking about, but it can be subtle the way that you witness it. The idea, of course, is that the brain is associated with the body, and the mind is invisible. The mind is not in the brain. So the mind is beyond the body. However, mind is like a bridge between the brain and spirit. The brain doesn't do anything. It doesn't make any choices of import. That would be up to the mind, wouldn't it? And so the brain is not the dreamer of the dream. We couldn't point to the brain and give it any blame. In fact, the good news is the brain is innocent. The body is innocent. The separate character is innocent. This is really good news. The truth is they're innocent. What you appear to your body's eyes that you could blame for being somebody who is unfair or angry or deserving of your judgment. You don't have the picture right, because these are effects. The body's an effect, the brain's an effect. We would go to the cause. Were you to have any healing of something, you would go to the cause. Certainly you can make the effect better. Band-aids, say you're sorry, pay them off, write them a check. Be nice. Even when you feel like you want to attack. But you're treating symptoms, not the cause. In this world, if you practice living with an ego and a body, if you take the habits that have been developing all through your life and you develop them and you trust them, so you say, for example, when you get upset or you don't get things the way you want, you raise your voice. Do you raise your voice? Let's say you do that. This kind of thing gets embedded in your small p personality or persona. It's a habit to raise your voice when you don't get things just the way you planned or expected. Or maybe you swear. Maybe you do a little attack and you feel like it comes from your body. And after a while it does. See, that's the two-edged sword here. That's the careful thing here. It's that you develop habits living in a body, and these habits that you develop living in a body now seem to be unconscious. Like you didn't have any control over yelling. It just happened, right? It happened before you had a chance to stop it, you say. You yelled. Or you got afraid. Or you got threatened. You felt like you're going to lose. You think it happened so quickly that you didn't have control over it. Okay? This is because you have taken in the pattern into and invested in your brain. It all came through your mind. and your mind was choosing along its way, choosing along its way, choosing along its way to its own, what it thinks is joy, what it thinks would bring you happiness. Not unlike the drug user. Drug user takes the drug to get the effect of the drug as soon as possible. Small amounts gets away with it. Larger amounts doesn't. The pattern enters the brain through the mind. The brain is a pattern holder. That's what memories are. That's what habits are. And that's what living as a verb, small l, living as a verb in a body, is a result of following the patterns that are held in the brain. This is really good news if you're following me. Your brain is a pattern repository, and you will live the patterns that you keep. Do you yell? Do you raise your voice? Do you swear?
Yeah.
These are just patterns that have been invested in your pattern repository. And you will get the effects that you, the meaning that you give them. And then other people will also get the effects that they take from how you, from the patterns that you exhibit. But these are in your brain, folks. And your mind is witnessing everything and keeping or tossing, keeping or rejecting. Now that you're, of course, a miracle student, now that you're on a spiritual path, now that you think that peace is possible for you, you're doing what the Course calls applying vigilance. Vigilance means to watch, to keep a lookout. You're applying vigilance now for peace. And that requires you have vigilance against anger, attack, judgment, darkness. Because it is already loaded now as a pattern in your brain. You know this to be true. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying to heal. But the hope is there. The pattern correction is there in your Course in Miracles. He's got lessons written out for you. He even tells you what to say and what to do. I mean, that's kind of handy. You know the differences whether or not you apply it. Your mind now back to what you can instantly change is your choice.
Come over. Come on.
This is your the one freedom you have left in this world is your power of choice. That's in your mind. Your brain does not choose. Your brain is an organ in your body that stores patterns, and it responds at best and it reacts at worst. But everything goes through the control of the mind. We're going to move our attention from the brain to mind. We're going to make sure that you're fully aware of that ability and maybe even what it feels like. You, yes, Don.
I just, and what comes up for me is purification as part of this whole equation. Beautiful. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Miracle Principle 8. I'll just read it to you out of memory. Miracles are everyone's right, comma. Oh, 7. Miracles are everyone's right, comma. But purification is necessary first. Don, you're right on it. You have to purify the vessel. That's you're just coming right down to Miracle Principle 7, where the Course talks about you have become accustomed to judgment, attack, defense, guilt. These things seem normal and true to you. However, if you go still for a moment and you look for the peace or the love in any situation, you're going to find it. And a healing occurs and a correction occurs. How correction? How? Correction on from what perspective you see. You no longer see from the perspective of loss. You see from the perspective of wholeness. Loss is where you find guilt, attack, defense. Wholeness, leading to oneness, is where you find compassion, sharing, understanding, and love. The purification happens when you choose that wholeness of perspective. You see it with your Holy Spirit, rather than follow the habit pattern that's in your brain already, which will pick out the loss, feel the hurt, probably get a little adrenaline in your stomach, and you'll start to feel sad. And then you'll chase the sadness if you do with your mind. It'll actually make you sadder because that's what you're asking to happen. But you can go the other way in that instant. You can see the difficulty and the contraction and say, let me step back. Let me see the wholeness here. Let me see my freedom where my body is threatened. Let me see where my mind is free. Go quiet, jump into the closet, close the door behind you and say, Holy Spirit, show me how I'm still free, even though I just lost my apartment. Or I've been diagnosed with a fourth hip surgery. I hope it doesn't happen, Jason. But the man's done three, so he's had to face something very similar to this and survive it. He could have given himself hell. He could make it really, really bad in a poor me story. Get a whole new violin to saw in half about how bad it is to get three hip surgeries and he only has two hips. Or you can look for the life that is in every one of those surgeries and every one of these problems, and every one of the doctor things and the life that's there. You can look to that. Look to the wholeness of living life, even though the patterns might show you the darkness of falling apart. It's there. It's always there. It's always there. Yes, Luann.
A little bit kind of like what Don was saying, but from a different perspective that I'm not quite sure is true. If you go to the Holy Spirit if you go to the Holy Spirit and whatever you choose is reflective of what the Holy Spirit or what Jesus would be telling you.
Yeah.
Are you kind of then developing habits that when you go to your mind, you would choose them instead of the other habits maybe?
Well said, Luann. Each time you practice the choice for peace, the choice for wholeness, the choice for light, the choice for non-attack, each time you practice the choice for compassion to see why is this person so mad. Careful not saying, why is this person so mad at me? Then you start to follow the ego, right? Just keep it simple. Yes. Yes, Luann. Then you begin. You will form the habit of mind. The mind, the brain is a pattern bank, a pattern repository, pattern. Living, the verb living, is built on patterns. It's part of the design. And so if you start to use the Course in Miracles and your lessons to make you accustomed to choosing light instead of dark, the lightest you can get from whatever dark approaches, light, 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 you will start to be enlightened. You will start to default toward a lighter point of view. You will start to point toward a holistic point of view. You'll start to point toward a compassionate point of view, a sharing point of view. You will start to associate yourself with the bigger picture. that includes equally you and the person or thing you're having a problem with, including just you and your body. The problem is you've let the pattern of identifying with this piece, this separate piece that you call Albert, Andrew, Jacqueline, Kenny, Ross, Don, Luann, Jason, Cecilia. Even has a name. It's got a social security number. It's got an address. It's got all these individual things that make it separate, separate, separate. We're learning to step back even just a little and start to get a bigger picture to see what's really going on. Pry yourself out of being the separate, separate individual body and all the things that are associated with the body. Remember this, I quoted this to you from Wee Woo Wei the other week. I just love this. It's so Course in Miracles. He says, you're upset because 99.9% of what you think and what you say and what you do has to do with yourself. And there is none. It's not there. The Don character, the Jason character, the Kenny character. It's not actually there. You have to make it up each time you reference it. Has that occurred to you yet? You're not there. Your name was made up sometime around your birth by a couple of people who had to do that. And you've carried that with you ever since. And you have to associate. When somebody says, hey, Don, Don has to say, well, is it me? And he looks around to see if they're calling him. You have to make it up right on the spot. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Right? That comes with everything to do with your body and your identity with the body. It's made up. You as that being doesn't actually exist. You don't have a separate self. You do have a character with a name and a social security number and a family and a history and a mother and a father and artistic abilities. Maybe you can sing or play and preferences. And maybe you've written a book or you're reading one. You have all these things you could tell me about yourself, about the character, the separate character. Hey, that's wonderful. And actually there's a lot of great things going on with that. We're only here to correct the identity part. That this is you. Imagine being able to step back and not feel fear because you woke up. That person you see in the mirror doesn't actually feel anything. The brain does not feel or care about your success or failure, only as much as you're there to drive it. Look, what if what the Course says is true? Just for a second, go with me, okay? I know it's crazy, but go with me. What if what the Course says is true and you're not a body? You're not actually a body. Just for a moment, breathe that in. You're not a body. You're invested in a body. You're animating a body. It's great fun. Playing the role of a body, but you're not that. Now, how afraid can you be about that body's life? You're not that body. Just for a second, can you feel that freedom? You are engaged in a body, but you're not that. You are driving, steering, choosing, enjoying, struggling. Even unto your death one day, you'll navigate your death. Imagine doing that without the fear that would come with it if that was you, right? I was in New York on business once. I was only there for a day. I needed to rent a car. And the guy says, okay, here's all that. And would you like the insurance? And I'd never done this before. I said, yes, I'll take it all. Check, 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 check. He said, okay, check the boxes. I sign him and he put the keys in the air and says, you have no financial responsibility whatsoever for this car. Have a good day. It occurred to me that that simple dissociation with the harm to that car, I honestly felt really free. It did lower. It gave me a sense of peace and freedom, even though I was still driving the car and I would take care of it. And I would do my best. Course in Miracles is teaching me that I am not this body. You have no personal, emotional, long-term responsibility for Andrew at all. Really? Just like that person handed me those keys. He says, call us, we'll tow it back, and we'll bring you another car. I said, what happens if I wreck it? He said, give us the address, and we'll bring you another one. That's what he said. Imagine having no fear if you knew you weren't a body. And now imagine what it would be like to be in relationship with another person. And you knew that they weren't a body either. You're still going to drive. You don't want to drive wrecked a car, do you? I don't want to drive a scratch car. I don't want to have to go through them coming out and changing the car. I don't want to go through any of that. So I drove the same and careful as I would normally. I was more peaceful, I got to tell you. It was kind of fun. I was kind of giggling. I was giggling a little bit. You have no responsibility for this vehicle whatsoever. It's freedom, folks. That's why you're going to go through this workbook as you have already, and you're going to end up chanting. I don't know. I should count the how many times, hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm not a body, A. B, I'm free. Why? How? Because I'm still, as God created me, an extension of everything. Eternal, unassailable, and a creator son, a creator. Wow. What is there to worry about when that eye is open, when that vision has come to you? It's beautiful what you're doing. This is A Course in Miracles that you're studying. It's a really wonderful thing. It doesn't help you die. This helps you live. It helps you face the darkness that you have invested in. You have. The world is very dark. Your life is going to be dark and light for the rest of your life. You know it. You got it. You already bought the ticket that's black and white. Darkness and light. What you're doing with this A Course in Miracles is changing the average to lighter. You're working on your enlightenment. It will not come from following your brain. It will come from denying your brain's impulses and following your mind's ability to choose peace, to choose wholeness, to choose understanding, to choose joining, to choose compassion. And from that, you will harvest forgiveness and love. Approximations to that even here. So let's have Jesus weigh in. Oh, Don, please.
Ego and brain.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just all of a sudden thought, wait. So because I have this difficulty. connecting with or imagining my mind is not my skull and the brain in it. But the skull and the brain in it are not the mind. So they are of the ego. So when I choose mind, I've heard people say, you know, there's a decision maker. You're the decision maker, deciding either for the Holy Spirit or right mind, or you're deciding for the ego mind. But what I like to think is the mind is of God, and the ego is the brain and body. But I don't think I have that really totally clear.
You're certainly closing in on it.
I'm closing in on it.
The ego is expressed in the body. I'll take you through a little journey here. The verb of ego is body. The ego acts out through body. The mind is invisible. The mind acts out, and in this case, where you are now, small m mind, acts out through ego into the body, into the world. But the mind is sick. Course is word now, so we may as well use it. The mind is sick when it acts out through the impossible, which is aloneness, loss, separate ego. That's sick. The same mind. Mind is invisible. Remember, mind is invisible. The ego goes into the visible through the brain and the body and the world. It comes from the invisible, where all truth is, which is the mind. But the mind is not. The mind is able to choose equally darkness, isn't it? An ego. Or it can choose light and love and healing. Therefore, the mind is not the answer, is it? No. The Course, and we should look at it tonight. We'll get there. I'll just tell you, in case we run out of time, I want you to hear this specific phrase from the Manual for Teachers. The mind is the activating agent of spirit. Don, repeat that back to me.
The mind is the activating
agent
of spirit.
I want you to get that. The mind is activating agent of spirit. This is a huge clue, folks! Because the spirit is invisible, and spirit is indivisible. Spirit is even more removed from world, body, ego, brain than the mind. You see, you're moving into the nonlinear as we go mind, spirit. There are more levels. But you see, they're getting progressively less visible. Ego is more visible, and then it commits to the absolutely visible, and this is the dream. The dream of specifics, the dream of separation, the dream of a body, the dream of competition, and creativity and creation and truth is gone. We move our way as we go back toward the truth. We go through, back up to the mind level. Yes, Don?
So purification is of the mind.
Yes.
Purifying the mind allows for spirit is the activating agent of mind.
Mind is the activating agent of spirit.
Mind is the activating agent of spirit. And if the mind is purified, then it activates its inspiration, its creation.
Yes, it follows its origin.
Purifying the mind, that's the key.
That's the key.
Jesus said, when the Pharisees were saying, basically they were saying, you know, your devotees, they misbehave. They don't behave properly. I mean, that's my words. And he said, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. Yeah. It will burst.
Yeah.
So the wineskin would be the mind, so to speak.
The mind's habits are the wineskin used. The wineskin is a used thing. It's committed. The wineskin has, for example, your attack, arguing, swearing, and judgment. You can't make those pure. You can't make those things holy. Those are the old wineskin. The old things that Don Wagner used to do, the old approaches, divisive approaches, lying approaches, maybe, you know, the ugly things that you used to do are the old wineskin. The ego habits of separation, attack. That's why attack in the workbook is a significant topic, because you could give up the world you can be free of the world you see, escape the world you see. How? By giving up attack thoughts. The attack thoughts did serve the ego. The attack thoughts win lawsuits. The attack thoughts can actually manage in the world and make you very wealthy. That's the old wineskin. It served for a bitter wine. But if you want the sweet, holy wine of oneness, we're going to need a new wineskin.
Is that the brain?
This is choices you make with the mind. And the brain will now follow the better choices. You will heal. This is pure purification you mentioned before. And yes, the brain will start to help. Because now the brain is the activating agent of a healed mind. It's what we call in Course in Miracles right thinking. The brain just simply does what it's told. It follows. It doesn't make choices at all. It's a pattern bank, a pattern repository. Whatever patterns are loaded, that's what will echo back out.
Okay, so I'll do a practical example. So my wife likes to talk. She likes to fill space and time with talking about whatever, not really looking to inquire or communicate or have an exchange, just talk about whatever comes to her mind. And sometimes I feel bored. And I'm wondering how to, because that feel doesn't feel happy to me. It doesn't feel happy to be bored. It feels like an attack on her. And I don't know. I guess that's where you turn and how to see this another way.
Absolutely.
And I know what she wants. Is she asking for love or is she trying to extend love? I don't feel love, but that I have to take responsibility for that. And I don't know how, if she's trying to feel loved, how do I love her? I guess I can't, you know, Dawn can't, maybe, you know, Dawn, the character can't.
Yeah, you ask the Holy Spirit in that situation to give you the perspective on how you can be truly helpful.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
You can't guess what she's thinking, Dawn. And you can't guess that her talking is even meant for you to hear. She kind of wants somebody around so she's not alone, but you can't guess that her talking is meant for you to make.
I get that it's not. Listen, I have a son. I have a son who's exactly the same way.
Okay.
Exactly the same way. And when he was about 8 years old, we're driving to the car. I was Mr. Mom. So yep. I was with him a lot. And he's talking and talking and talking and talking. And he never shared like personal stuff.
Right.
It was just stuff. And I said, Curtis, I said, I'm sorry. I don't feel bad. I feel bad about it. But I just have a hard time listening.
See, Don?
Listening to you talk. And he says,
yeah.
Oh, that's okay, Dad. I just want to talk.
He told me.
He told me. So lately, what I do with Michelle is I'm going, I'm not doing what you said. I'm just doing this general, like, basically peace. I don't have to pay attention. Peace. Because I have this onerousness on me that listening is important. I have that value, that belief, that it's important to listen to people, listen to what they're saying. And you know what? It probably is listening with spiritual ear.
You bet.
Okay. I
had a girlfriend who told me I'd listen very carefully, and then I would come up with a plan. She'd say, don't fix me.
I stopped that a long time ago.
I just need to say this. And I would say, but you're telling me all the problems, and I just need to say it. I'm like, wow, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Has something to go on there. Kenny, what are you going to share with us? I saw you nodding your head. Hey, let me get your mute. Tell us some wisdom.
I do the same thing. I have a story that I want to say. And Bridget is talking. And her hands move and her head moves and all. And I got to say, I love her. My story is not important.
Yeah.
I just love her.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be here.
Nice.
What else?
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Sometimes I do. I just stop and go over and give her a hug.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of her talking. But sometimes, you know, I got to be careful, because if I'm coming from wanting to shut her up, that of course doesn't work.
She'll see through it.
But if I feel it, if I feel just this affection for her, she may stop talking or she may go on. But in any case, it feels better.
Imagine, Don, if it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. You're wanting to love her. You're showing up, and that she wants you around while she's telling the story. That means something. Because there's an opportunity for joining in togetherness, but not the story nor the details in it. Tell me if I'm wrong. When she wants your opinion, she will ask you for it directly.
Yeah.
If she doesn't give it to you.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So you
I once witnessed her with a friend that she grew up with, a guy. And he reacquainted himself with her and us a few years ago. And he'd come over with a bottle of wine. He was a big wine guy, drinker, and everything else. But I'd be at the kitchen table with him. And he's talking, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as she can get her foot in the door, she starts talking, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, what am I doing here? So I just walk away. And then I just watch them battle for who was going to get to talk anyway.
Yeah. They're not even speaking your language.
No.
And same for you, Kenny. When she gets going, there's no room for you right there. She's not even, I mean, it's not a conversation invitation. She's working something out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could pick up the details, and later they will be useful for you to help her. If or when she actually needs help.
And I guess if I listen, as I said, with a spiritual ear, I can get myself out of the way.
Yes.
And then there's maybe space for her to hear herself.
Yes. That's right. She is going to what she trusts first, and that is her own voice and her own mind. And it helps to say it out loud, because then she forms complete sentences. You see, when she says it to herself, they aren't complete sentences, and it's even more chaotic. So let her work it. Let her have a human audience to help her form complete sentences and start to make more sense. You are being helpful. You're just not being responsive. You know, you're not responding. That's not your job. Your job is there.
Not analyzing.
Right, not analyzing or fixing. However, do know that in my experience, what you're giving her is the needed audience so that she has to form complete sentences and complete thoughts. That calms her mind down.
Okay.
And she doesn't mind saying embarrassing things in front of you, and that's a compliment. That's an I love you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So imagine that you would not, you would let go of the brain patterns that says you had to respond or had anything to do with you. You know, the details. And then you're free. You're free to serve. You're free to forgive your thoughts about having to be interactive or even you to get any attention while she's in chaos. No, that's not time for your attention. No, it's free, more free for you now to give. Give your presence, give your time. Do you know to give your attention? Obviously, it's not, she doesn't want it. She's working it out. When she has a summary, she will tell you what the answer is.
Okay.
It's really good. I like your bringing that up because it's a very practical example of how you can move in a difficult relationship situation to the holy relationship. Because what you're looking to is to sharing what you have in common. In that story, you do not have in common. But her trying to calm her mind and make sense of things so she can be at peace, you have in common.
Okay.
Yes, Luann.
I have the same need.
I don't know how many of my friends and clients who are women come with their upset about their husbands trying to, or their boyfriends trying to help them, and they didn't ask for help.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Yeah.
Most men, if they're going to learn it the hard way.
But you know, I got to say, she was kind. You know, she said, read this, John Gray. Yes, dear.
My wife's more, actually, she's more inclined to try to help. If I share something, she wants to help and find a solution. That's her way.
Yes. Yeah. So it's always going to be this task for you. It's a step back from the contraction difficulty and look for what do you have in common. And you really have to go beyond the words. Don't try to make sense of the words. That's ego fighting grounds.
Yeah.
And don't seek, certainly, if there's a contraction going on, don't try to get yourself understood. And then you have to probably raise your voice because they're very busy with their chaos. Don't even go there. You can get yourself known, but you're going to have to wait a bit. You have to understand first. That's Miracle Principle 8, which says, essentially, miracles are for those who temporarily have more to those who temporarily have less. Oh, here it is. Here's the quote. Miracles are a kind of exchange. They are given by those who temporarily have more to those who temporarily have less. Now I'm going to ad lib a little bit. It is an exchange. It is a giving and a receiving. For you to be calm when there's chaos is a giving and a receiving. You are bringing the healing that's needed. Yes, Jason, let me get your mute.
You know, that was just the thing I wanted to bring up today, actually. I was lying in bed this morning. I've been thinking this week about my mother's passing and how time stopped and all that. And this very exact quote came to mind that at the time of her death, she had more than I had to take in what was going on. And so she gave it to me for 48 hours.
So she what?
Give it to me for 48 hours.
Oh.
Love. And understanding and acceptance of being present without drama or ego. It was just love to me.
There was nothing left to give. She knew, right?
So I'm
she knew what was going on.
I felt like that's when someone reached down and they had more than I had.
Beautiful.
But it never made sense until today.
And then you managed to receive it.
Yeah. in a big way.
Because you know why? You told me why. I'm just repeating what you told me years ago. The only reason you could receive that so clearly is you were wide open with the death of your mother.
Right.
You were in reset mode. And so the vibration of her love filled your space for days. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah, that's really, yeah, the giving. Now I can hopefully do that with other people.
Nice.
Not from an ego standpoint, but just
yeah,
spiritual standpoint.
Jacqueline.
Well, I was thinking about giving and receiving, you know, it's been in the lessons. And because of the duality, we even talk about giving and receiving, right? And without the duality, there's just one, I guess it's just love. I'm not, you know, I was trying to imagine what non-dualistic quality when you don't have the duality of giving and receiving. It just is something like that. I don't quite know how to put it into words.
I like what you're doing. I like the way you're closing it. You're going from the giving and receiving from the dualistic interpretation, taking that as a bridge to how can giving and receiving be the same. And I see the confidence in your speech to saying it is. I can't say exactly how it is, but that's where I'm going. Yes, Jacqueline, that is where you are going. It's because the oneness of giving and receiving is already present now in your mind through your devotion. And it's simply returning. This is what's called you. You are the light of the world now with your understanding of the oneness. The words come or may not come. That's not important. That you know the beauty of giving and receiving is one. This is the key. This is a journey beyond words that you have taken. And I'm pointing it out. And you're sharing it with us. I love how you do that. You give it to us, Jacqueline, hot off the press. Doesn't she, guys?
She does.
They're not perfected words, but they're hella honest.
Yep.
Yes. That's it. That's what you're following. That's your awakening. That's what awakening is like, is you know before you can say. The ego's linear world, you have to be able to perfect it and say it before you can know it. But in the spiritual world, you're not actually learning anything, you're unlearning. So you know it to be true before you can say it. This is how you know you're making progress. It's not the typical ego achievement.
Sometimes, though, I think the Holy Spirit can take something you want and make it into a oneness for you. And then you can realize what happened.
Yeah, what's the perspective of the Holy Spirit on anything?
There is nothing but oneness, probably.
Yeah, nothing but oneness. It's even one dream. It's one dream with many parts. See, the Holy Spirit is very consistent that way, and so is your healing. Any healing that you're doing is always a returning to the one source, the one truth, and it has taken on many aspects. And we've gone from one spirit, one being, through one spirit, into an investment into the ability to have many. And that is mind. It's not separate, folks. It's just many. Then mind has moved its way down to individuation and further individuation, which is still not separate, into separation. And that's where the sickness began. The separation is where the sickness began. Yeah. Oneness is simply turning back to what is always true. The one source. From what source do you look? From what perspective do you look? And Jacqueline shared with us, she's starting to look from the perspective that of this beautiful instantaneous exchange where duality doesn't apply, because before there was a giving and then later a receiving, but she sees now the instantaneous receiving as the giving seems to be occurring. The receiving is occurring. She knows this to be true. And it's so beautiful now. There's no lag. There's no waiting. There's no the other person has to say thank you. None of that. She's come back to the truth of giving and receiving are one. It's a spiritual thing. It's an invisible thing. And the math doesn't work in the ego's world. But you recognize that that math's true when one is the only number used for the math. That's called the simplicity of salvation. It's too simple. So true.
Oops.
Yes, Jacqueline.
That's where when I was meditating once and then I heard 1 + 1 = 1, and in that moment it seemed accurate. And then my ego came in and said, no, 1 + 1 = 2. But I realized that was a message from the Holy Spirit to me. 1 + 1 = 1. Because in the moment it felt completely true.
Hey, I just got to say, I'm sorry. I was just thinking 1 + 1 = 1, and then you came up.
Wow.
And I did the same thing. 1 + 1 = 1. And then I said, oh, wait, 1 + 1 is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same mind.
There it is.
Same mind.
We're one mind.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. That's great, you guys. That's how you felt the truth and the habit of thought, the habit of brain came back in to try to divide the truth again. But you zipped it up. You healed it with 1 + 1. It's 1 because you're dealing with ones.
Because the plus sign is not, it's a joining sign. It's a joining sign.
If when you really understand 1, then no matter how many ways you say it, it's still 1. So however many you try to add, it's the same 1 because you really got the 1. Yeah. The Course describes it this way. It says that love recognizes itself. That would be 1 + 1 = 1. Love recognizes itself. So 1 recognizes 1, which is the same 1, because it's 1. It's not some other 1. The ego says it's some other 1. No, it's the 1 recognizes the 1, and it equals the 1. And it's a wonderful dance, and it's an infinite dance.
That's why giving and receiving are 1.
Yes, Luann.
I had my miracle. I thought it was a miracle. Now I realize it's a principle from you bringing it up, Jacqueline. And one of the lessons, and I can never remember which one because I want to get back to it so I can do it again. Mm-hmm. It says, find somebody that you're upset with and send them love.
Yes.
And so I was trying to find some love to send, and I tried and tried, and I couldn't do it. I knew I wasn't doing it, so I gave up and asked, and I just said, if it's going to happen, the Holy Spirit's going to do it for me. I was overwhelmed with love all of a sudden. Just all I saw was white light, a knee there, and love. I mean, I've never felt love like that before.
That's a holy instant. Well, by doing nothing, you dropped it. You dropped the effort.
Yeah.
It was the intent.
Yes, it just flowed. It's an interval out of time.
My ego tried to kill me too by saying you didn't intend to get it. You were just giving it. That's what I thought. Well,
yeah, you'll learn to drop the rationality of trying to explain what happened when you have holy instances like this. You will learn. You can't speak of them. you can't really tell somebody else exactly what happened. You know, it's just, if you start to remove it back into time and space and words, and you'll learn to just appreciate the experience, because you are taking a journey beyond words. Don't worry. Your ability to communicate will be enhanced by this, not hampered. Your honesty will be enhanced, not hampered. The ego says, if I can't figure out how to say what happened, then I'll lose it. No, let go.
Which is what happened immediately after I heard that.
Yeah, let go of that. Who said it earlier here? I think it might have been you. You're picking up the habits in your brain of trusting spirit now and not material. Brain and words are material. Individual sentences and paragraphs are material. Being able to tell your story to somebody else is material. But the habits that you're picking up, miracles are habits. They're natural and they're habits, but they are changes from the material to the spiritual. And what you're doing is retraining your brain now to cooperate with the invisible. You are moving away from the visible, bodies, time, space, words, to the invisible. And I'll tell you, now we're talking a spiritual program, because we're going invisible. This is no less than what is required in your Course in Miracles. And where we're, you know what? Go to Miracle Principle 17. We should go there every meeting. So whenever we hit, wherever we hit this, you got to see that this is in your book, and you got to see that it's on page 4 of your book. You got to see that this is exactly what we're doing and what you must do. Course in Miracles is asking you to do something that is otherwise crazy, unless you are willing to make this movement
miracles
spiritual.
Yes, in the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the body level.
Page 417.
Why they heal.
Perfect. No, it's page 4.
Yes, yeah, page miracle.
Number 17.
Send the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility from the body level. That is why they heal.
Yes. Yes. That's in the front of your book. It's an essential metaphysical aspect of the awakening that you're going through. And tonight, it's an illustration that we're moving from bodily level, which is visible and historical. And you can measure it. You can feel it. You can see it. To the invisible, which is up into mind. This is where we're actually doing the healing, because the physical stuff doesn't care. The physical stuff doesn't make choices or bring you happiness. So, miracles transcend the body, period. You're going to need a whole book of miracles when you first start this to say, what? It's so consistent, right? The whole book all the way through. When you're ready to take it, you know, here is a complete journey. In this one miracle principle, they're all the same. Miracles transcend the body. They're sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level. That's why they heal. So the bodily level is 1 + 1 gives you 2, double. That's the bodily level. But the miracle is a shift away from the bodily level, and it's 1 + 1 = 1, because we're talking about 1. Now that's a shift to invisibility, and it feels like it too, doesn't it? It feels whole. It feels healthy. It feels light.
It feels right.
It feels right. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's what it's like to listen. That's what it's like to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what it's like to have vision. One plus one is vision, Jacqueline. Straight up. And you know it. Don, you know it. That's a vision, and it's what vision is, and it delivered you from the discrete, from the separate to oneness. And you came from the perspective of wholeness, even though you used the words of separation. And you stayed with the wholeness, and the equation came out accurately. 1 + 1 = 1. This is a wonderful gift that you gave, and a wonderful teaching that the two of you have given us tonight, for sure. Okay, let's go read up what Jesus has to say and give us some ways to use this kind of information we've just harvested from the group in the idea of managing a separate mind and body and moving toward a holy relationship. Albert, when you get there to page 468, would you read for us, after you unmute, paragraph 2?
2?
Yes, sir. In fact, why don't you start with the previous sentence to sort of blend us into paragraph 2? Okay.
It is as though you wandered in without a plan of any kind, except to wander off, for only that seems certain.
Oh, man, that sounds personal. I think he's talking about me.
Yet we have heard a very similar description earlier, but it was not of you. But still, this strange idea, which it does accurately describe, you think is you. Reason would tell you that the world you see through your eyes that are not yours but must make no sense to you. To whom would seeing such as this send back its messages? Surely not you, whose sight is wholly independent of the eyes that look upon this world. If this is not your vision, what can it show to you? The brain cannot interpret what your vision sees. This you would understand. The brain interprets to the body of which it is a part. But what it says you cannot understand, yet you have listened to it. And long and hard, you tried to understand its messages.
Beautiful. Right?
Feels like we've gone beyond that tonight.
Yes, we really have covered this deeply. And I want to take the example of Don's wonderful Michelle going on, and he's lost track of even what she's saying. And he's starting to turn inward toward his own discomfort and maybe even boredom. And look at numbers. Look at what Albert just read, starting with sentence 7. The brain cannot interpret what your vision sees. So if Don is calling his Holy Spirit to show him, how can I be truly helpful with Michelle right now? Because I love her. And how can I be truly helpful to the Dawn character as well? And then go silent just for a few seconds, and the Holy Spirit will jump in and start to drive. Because everything is for your good. Everything is available for reinterpretation by the Holy Spirit at any minute, all along the way. Your vision will start to see things like 1 + 1. Is still one. It's exactly one. Ah, 1 + 1 makes one. It makes one even. Wow. This new math. Okay. The brain cannot interpret what your vision sees. This you would understand. The brain interprets to the body, to basic rules of the world's mathematics. Of which it is a part. But what the body says, what the brain says, what the world's discrete math says, you, who is of the healed mind now in this paragraph, you're back to mind. You're not all the way up to spirit and oneness, but you're back to the right mind. This you cannot understand. That you could have one and somehow come up with two? How does that math even work anymore, Jacqueline? If one plus one is really one, how could it ever be two again and have truth? Own that. Own that freedom. And then he calls you out. He says, yeah, you have listened to your brain. You have listened to the competitive relationship things in this world and tried to make sense and make yourself happy in all the division in the world. You have listened to it. And long and hard, you try to understand the brain's messages, separate the ego's messages, but not anymore. You're moving now toward your wholeness, toward your oneness. And let's pick up another paragraph here. Ross, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 3? Do we have time? We sure do. Give us paragraph 3.
I have not realized it is impossible to understand what fails entirely to reach you. You have received no messages at all, you understand. For you have listened to what can never communicate at all. Think then what happens. Denying what you are and firm in faith that you are something else, this something else that you have made to be yourself becomes your sight. Yet it must be the something else that sees and as not you explains its sight to you. Your vision would, of course, render this quite unnecessary. Yet if your eyes are closed and you have called upon this thing to lead you, asking it to explain to you the world it sees, you have no reason not to listen, nor to suspect that what it tells you is not true. Reason would tell you it cannot be true because you do not understand it. God has no secrets. He does not lead you through a world of misery waiting to tell you at the journey's end why he did this to you.
You know, we have nailed this down so well. Thank you, Jacqueline and Dawn, for elicitating this. We've really nailed this down. Let's highlight our learning tonight using sentence number 9, because we studied for days and days a couple weeks ago reason, right? Reason and understanding was a section. Now, reason would tell you that it cannot be true. What cannot be true? 1 + 1 = 2. That if I can get Michelle to pay attention to me and ask me my story and then sit patiently by pulling out of me the details that would make the story meaningful to both of us, then I would be happier. That is 1 + 1 = you, making 2, which would be more. Rather than the one that's being shared by the one who's listening, or just being present to be helpful, equaling the one that's in the room. This is what it means to go from the separate relationship, which is give and take, to the holy relationship, which is give and receive. Look how it's said beautifully here. Reason would tell you that it cannot be true. What can't be true? 1 + 1 = 2. Why? Because you, in your right mind now, in your holy mind, and you're one who is dedicated to a holy relationship, you don't understand two. You don't understand more comes from two separately competing stories somehow coming together. One plus one, two. You know what you do understand? You do understand joining the oneness that is. You do understand coming into out of time into the present moment and loving Michelle, being present with it, or in the case of Jacqueline, following the feeling of oneness, following your Holy Spirit, following the light that is in you saying one plus one is one, and that's right. Owning that, making that the true engram in your brain, making that the path that you're following and the guide that you seek, this awareness of that, I like to call it a new emotion. When you have a holy instant, you separate baby creator are returning back to the light, and it's like a new emotion because it's an emotion that's speaking of oneness that you knew not of. You have divorced yourself from oneness in order to have separation. And as you turn back to the light, it is so beautiful. It's a holy instant. And you, the healed mind, if you move yourself back up to the healed mind, you do not understand now the competitive separation, the separate competing. So that's why sentence 9 is key. Reason would tell you that it cannot be true because you do not understand it. Do you see? Now we're referencing your holy instant, Jacqueline. We're referencing your understanding of 1 plus 1 is 1. That's the authority, the holy instant. Not the learning from the world that does discrete math. So now you're moving to the invisible, but that's what you have to do. You have to move. Miracles are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That is why they heal. Miracle Principle 17.
What I just got is when I'm feeling separate, it's my responsibility to go back to feeling oneness.
That a girl. Yes. Absolutely. Only if you want to feel the higher spiritual air, the easy breathing and the love, the sense of love and oneness that comes with it. Only then would you go back to love.
And when I'm feeling separate, it's because I'm creating that. I'm not.
You're very busy making and following separation like a habit, like a drug, like taking the drug again.
It always ends up making me feel bad.
I think, you're quitting. That's what it locks. It's why I like to talk to somebody who's quitting a drug. They say, you know, it makes me feel bad. I do it now and then, but it makes me feel bad. So I'm quitting, and I believe them. I believe you. This is what it looks like. And as your challenges come up and you feel like doing the habit, the drug, and you say, no, not this time. That's what forgiveness is, Luann. You actually release the old pattern. You put the drug down. What's the drug? Raising your voice, judging, thinking things should be different than they already are. Forgiveness is letting all of that noise go. And you fall in love in the present moment with what's going on with your Holy Spirit. Yes, Don?
It just came to me. You said, it had to do with, I don't know, did you say not accepting the way things are? Did you say that?
Or? Yes, yes.
And I was thinking it's really, it's letting the way, you're only having difficulty accepting the way things are because you're paying attention to the separateness.
Yep. Follow that thought. Take it into meditation, Don.
You're listening to the wrong teacher. You're thinking with the wrong mind. You're analyzing and making discreteness and all those things that I was a psychologist.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But you know, the last part of my career, I just listened to little kids. I didn't have to criticize them or do die. I had no treatment plan. I just got to be there while they played, and either they played with me or by themselves, or they just told me what to do. And that was beautiful.
You did child psychology?
Yeah. I was a school psychologist. And towards the end of my career, I got the fortunate opportunity to not be a professional and just, it was kind of like a play therapy. Kind of, you know, that would be the way to describe
it. I want to go back to what you were stopped, what you put your hand up on, which was a realization was coming to you right then. And I want to go back to that. And I think what I heard and what I was this little truth. Your awakening, your enlightenment, your freedom in this world is you will learn to trust the inevitable. The dream is already dreamed at the level of the character of Don or Michelle. You're so committed to that. But you are not that. You are free. You remain as God created you. So while you're paying attention to the body and the clock and the health and the wealth and the... You are smart enough to look at the inevitable and trust that. Just let that roll. Don't try to change what already's happening. Or sure as heck, don't try to change the past. You wake up with thoughts of the past and you wish they were different. Is that bunky? Is that what's got you upset? Yeah.
Let it be, let it be.
Sing it, Don. Sing it, Don. Reason would tell you it cannot be true because you do not understand it. Now that you're awake, now that you felt this beautiful peace of being present, God has no secrets. He does not lead you through a world of misery waiting to tell you at the journey's end. That's like the old, in heaven, you earned it. Now that you've struggled and suffered, you have earned your way into heaven. That's not true. Why God did this to you? No, God doesn't even know the details of your dream. How free is that? What if you weren't even a body? What if that wasn't even true? What if that was just this plaything you were busy occupying yourself with and you're safe, safe at home in heaven? And you wouldn't have to take this world so seriously. You might even enjoy it. A sage in a moment of extreme wisdom whispered in my ear during a Course in Miracles meeting in Santa Cruz. This is the sage Jason, our very own Jason here. He joined us tonight. Years and years ago, I was at Santa Cruz and we had a big meeting and we were talking about fear. And I was asking the whole group and we drew ourselves into the present moment in a meditation and we released the future, we released the past, we released the thoughts and the details of your life, and we came to just the present moment, and the challenge was stay here for a moment where there is no possibility of fear. What it would be like to live your life this way with no fear ever. Jason spoke up. Jason said, it might be fun. That's what he said. I'm like, oh my God, that is a really good assessment of this life without fear. It could be really fun. You would need the miracle that supports it so that you truly aren't afraid. Not that you can't be lying to yourself or being drugged or fooled. No. And then this paragraph makes a lot of sense. It's, look, God doesn't do this to you. He's not running you through a ringer with a big surprise at the end to tell you why he did it. No, you're doing this. And you're very successful playing at the separation game, but it doesn't mean anything. Let's get another paragraph while we're on a roll. Don, would you read for us paragraph 4?
Okay. What could be secret from God's will? You believe that you have secrets. What could your secrets be except another will that is your own? Apart from this, what could your secrets be except another will that is your own, apart from his? Reason would tell you that this is no secret that need be hidden as a sin, but a mistake indeed. Let not your fear of sin protect it from correction, for the attraction of guilt is only fear. Here is the one emotion that you made, whatever it may seem to be. This is the emotion of secrecy, of private thoughts, and of the body. This is the one emotion that opposes love and always leads to sight of differences and loss of sameness. Here is the one emotion that keeps you blind, dependent on the self you think you made to lead you through the world it made for you.
And all of that requires 1 + 1 equals a doubled 2, which can be cut in half. The 2 now becomes real, and you can cut it in half with division and go back down to 1. But now you're only half, aren't you? Once you've introduced 2, the individual ones are half. They're less than the 2. Do you see the sickness and how it compounds? And this is just like any drug use. Once you get more, you think the more is more. Now you need more than that in order to continue to get higher and happier. You've lost the sight of stillness, of completion in a present moment. No, you become a consumer. Look at this in that paragraph you just read. We're talking about fear. And sentence 4, reason, here it goes, reason again, right? Now that you've visited, and tonight we have the right mind. We've gone from the brain, which is dedicated without correction, without some type of healing. The brain is divided and habitually divided with a dividing pattern of separation, but not tonight. Tonight, you've moved from brain up to mind, where oneness can exist and hasn't left. And Jacqueline pointed it out for us, and we all went with her. And then Don pointed it out at the same time. He says, wait a minute, I'm with you already. 1 + 1 = 1. So that's reason. Reason would tell you that this is no secret that need to be hidden as a sin. But what is this idea that you could have a second or separate or competing will from oneness? A mistake. You're just trying something out. That's all. Doesn't mean anything. Can't even be true. It's a mistake indeed. Let not your fear of separation of sin protect it from correction, for the attraction of guilt is only fear. Metaphysics of A Course in Miracles being laid out.
Not my dog.
I guess that's Kenny's dog. I'm going to try that. I got your...
Yeah.
You got your mute, Kenny? All right. That's not Bridget, I hope. She's not telling one of her stories. Okay, good. The attraction of guilt is only fear. This is a How much time? Guilt is an active rehearsal of separation. Guilt is a manifestation of separation. In order for guilt to be real, you have to have an actor and one who is acted upon. You have to have one who acts and one who takes, one who is taken from. You have to have a victimizer and a victim. You have to have one item or thing or thought pushing and acting on another. And somehow taking, somehow losing in the exchange. Do you see? That's what guilt is. That's the fundamental essence of guilt. And the only way that guilt has any teeth is because fear is present and preloaded in your mind as something you respect and you hurt by. What if there was no fear? What if you stayed in 1 + 1 is always 1? What if you somehow accessed, you went up from your brain. Say it with me, up from your brain. This is what transcendence is. You leave the brain's logic behind and you go to the mind where all is 1. 1 + 1 is 1. Now you've accessed your spirit. You've accessed the spirit of oneness. And from this perspective, you come back into the world and you deal with your separate thoughts. But now you have the vision of oneness with your spiritual eye. And fear is not present. Yes, you've got the bodies and the blood and the money and the time issues and everything else is still there. But you've come back. It's called the light that you bring. It's a section, the light that you bring. And there's another, anyway, you carrying with you your oneness perspective now. And you're bringing your light now into what was dark. And this you must do. This you must do because you're so addicted habitually in the brain, habitually addicted to the world being real and to loss being real. And even if you think that somehow you have got some peace from A Course in Miracles, you think other people haven't, and therefore they're losing, and that their pain is real. I know. It seems compassionate. It's just the ego trying to draw you back into loss. So your healing is also the healing of other minds that appear to be suffering. Big deal, huh? No doubt. The attraction to guilt is only fear. Imagine if you could navigate this world without fear. Doesn't mean you won't help and heal physically, do things that make the world feel better on a physical level, but you won't do it with fear. Wow. How different is that? Okay. And then it hammers on what fear is and gives you about 6 different nails that it hits. Or 6 different hammer blows hitting the same nail, describing fear. This is emotion of secrecy, of private thoughts of the body. This is the one emotion that opposes love. This is always leads to the sight of differences and the loss of sameness. Here is the one emotion. Oh, this is fear, right? This is fear. Here's one emotion that keeps you blind, dependent on the self that you think you made to lead you through the world that it made, fear made for you. Wow. You know, kind of glad that we got through this paragraph so we don't have to spend next week on fear. That is one meaty topic, and I think we've covered it enough. I'm glad we did a great job tonight. Thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Thank you, Master Jacqueline and Master Don, for bringing up 1 + 1 is 1, the true sign of a healed mind. Yes, yes. Thanks, guys.
Night.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good night, everybody. Good night.